This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes Brave! He's the threat of the play!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me play football?
Vance Dooley and a Georgia damn Bulldog, baby!
Starting late. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
We've made it to Memorial Day weekend week, Adam.
It's taken a long time. I feel like there's been a lull in our summertime talk.
That ain't good.
Yeah, but it's finally here.
Looking forward to this for quite some time now,
yes.
Man. It's officially, unofficially here. By the way, do you realize that not that long ago, I would have considered Kenny Chesney my favorite musical artist of all time?
How long ago was that?
Not that long ago. I've just sort of gotten a little bit more into different styles of music, but back in the early 2000s, 2010s, when Kenny was really kind of peaking. Now, he's still doing great stuff.
He's got a couple hit songs out right now. So, yeah, we're good.
Honestly, I'm not even familiar. You could play them right now and they'd be the first time I heard them. But I could sing every single word to my man Kenny. All of his sort of back again, the early 2000s, 2010s, even all of his island stuff that he started putting out. I love it, man. I think it's fantastic. But I've just kind of grown up a little bit. Not grown up in age. I just mean in my style of music has just changed a little bit.
So who's replaced him?
I don't know if there is a specific. I'm just more into a different folk music. Love a good jam band, as you know. I just kind of like more of the vibe songs than the songs that tell a story. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you don't want to get intricate with the lyrics and how that's going on when you're hanging at the lake smoking your Boston Butts with your dog.
Smoking what?
The
Boston Butts.
The Boston
Butts. Gotcha. No, and those are all good and fun for sure, but it's just I don't know. I just kind of like a song. I can get lost in the instruments nowadays. Still love Kenny, no doubt about it, but this song is one of his great summer anthems of all time, as we are now officially creeping up on Memorial Day week. And I love this week for numerous reasons. One, we're going to dive a little bit deeper on it in a few minutes, but we are, at the time of recording this, 101 days until kickoff, which means tomorrow, or maybe you're listening to this on a Thursday or later, it is 100 days until kickoff week. It happens every Memorial Day. You know the old saying, the 100 days of summer. That literally spans from Memorial Day to Labor Day weekend. And it's just part of Americana.
And we are really, really excited this year, especially for me, because I think the Dogs are hungrier than ever because they were almost there. They had the team. They went out after that, lost to Alabama, and they put it on Florida State. Whoever was playing for Florida State, they kind of showed, look, we ain't playing around next year.
Bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
No, we've been hungry because we've been close many, many, many times over the decades. But, yeah, I think a lot of the players returning this year certainly think that, yeah, last year was a missed opportunity. We were the best team in the nation. We didn't capitalize at the chance we got. As a punishment for that, we had to go play in the Orange Bowl, and we showed up and played, to your point. But yeah, I think this year, from what I'm hearing, and look, every single program in America has a really good summer in the weight room. They're more focused than ever. Have you ever heard a coach come out and be like, man, the guys kept skipping practice? We kind of toned it down in the weight room a little bit this year. We got this new ice cream machine over in the clubhouse. Like, we're hitting that hard. Like, we love the soft serve.
I don't think I've heard that.
You don't hear that. Coach in America will say, hey, we're really focused. We're doing good. Looking forward to the coming fall. These boys are focused. But I just get the sense that, to your point, this year the players that are coming back, and they do a podcast, they do their own social media stuff, they really do seem like they know we've got something special in Athens.
And they're quiet about it, Logan. Mm-hmm. They're not bragging about it. They're not talking as much about it. They're just quiet doing the work, that's why I say, mm-hmm. if you put your head down and you go to work, you're going to have something special in the fall.
A couple of weeks from now, the players that were not on the team in the spring, a lot of high school kids that don't enroll early, or even some of these transfers, like a guy we're about to deep dive into, Jaden Rashada.
Yes, I talked to you in the hallway about him.
The quarterback from Arizona State, but he has not been with the team yet in a football capacity. He'll show up in the next couple of weeks when those summer session, you know, the football classes start. He may be here now. I could be a little bit off on my timeline, but as far as, you know, those football unofficial workouts is what they're called. They're not technically required, but we all know damn well they are required. Otherwise, they're not going to be on the team. But he'll be with the team here shortly. But yeah, it's we're inching into that very legit, real, no bones about it. Not, hey, we're looking forward to summer. We are at summer, man. I know what the calendar says. What is it? June? It's sometime in June, like 20th or something like that, that an official astrological summer happens. But my wife is teaching her last class today. And she's got a teacher work day tomorrow, and she is out for the summer as well. I know she's excited about that, as are all the teachers that listen to us. But we're there, Matt, and we made it. Congratulations, man. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, listen, the kids are out of school. We got the Stripers in town. I wanted to tell you, Sean Murphy, earlier in the week, did his rehab. Third pitch of his first at-bat hits a 450-foot home run off of the Miami Marlins AAA team.
I'll be hanging out there.
Obviously, we have All-Star Baseball. I coach that. So we're going to be over in Ackworth, Georgia, playing our tournament. So that's going to be exciting as well.
Sweet. Now, question. I saw the highlight of Sean Murphy hitting that dinger this week. It was a monster shot, like you said. He was wearing a Braves helmet. What was up with that?
So if you are on the 40-man roster doing a rehab, you can wear your Braves helmet. You can wear your Braves armbands.
Really?
Your braces. You're allowed to do that. And I will take it one step further. Even if you're not on rehab, if you're a 40-man roster coming back and forth, you are allowed to wear your Braves helmet at bat.
I never realized. I think that's really cool. I just never realized they did that.
And any team will let you do that. Okay. Like, listen, if a Miami Marlins down this week, he'll be wearing his.
I think that's awesome. I think that's really cool to like identify, because not everybody at a minor league game may be locked into like the rosters and the moves. But if they say, hey, that dude's wearing a Braves helmet, they'll know who he is. And I think that's neat. Very cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get him back. We could use him. Travis Darnold is fine. I think he's a great catcher. He's my wife's favorite player. But Sean Murphy's legit, like a really darn good catcher in every regard, both in the field and at the bat. So a two-month oblique injury. Didn't see that happening. Opening day kind of went down on a swing. I didn't realize he'd be gone for 2 months.
But yeah, that's the problem with this, man. It's the stuff that you don't realize could be the most serious thing, you know?
Exactly.
And back to your point with the Braves. Look, the Braves, at the time of recording, lost a walk-off to the Cubs. Something's got to change with the offense. Because, listen, you can give up 2, 3, 4 runs. The Braves should be able to beat a team that's only scoring that much on you.
Well, they're 0 for 14 this week against the Cubs with runners in scoring position. I think 1 for 21 combined between, help me out here, Acuna, Albies, Olsen.
And who am I missing? Top of your lineup.
Who am I missing at the other side?
Riley. Well, Riley's not there right now.
He's not there. Whatever. Yeah. The third base, whatever it was, Zach Young, King. I don't even know his name. I haven't learned to love him yet because I want Austin Riley back. But, yeah, the Braves' bats stink. Somehow they're 9 games over 500. That's the optimism is, hey, eventually they'll get it together. You and I think, are both a little bit wrong on Chris Sale. My optimism wasn't that much going in. I was thinking, okay, let's just see a healthy year. But that dude looks like a Cy Young winner right now.
Thank goodness he does and proved me wrong. Because if he wasn't around, you know, what would we have right now? Max Fried is okay. He's 3-2 this year. Okay. Charlie Morton, okay. But everybody's just okay, Logan. That's not going to beat anybody. Being okay. I mean, look, the Phillies are, what, 5 games up? maybe a few more. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win those type of divisions.
There's a wild stat we've been talking about on the morning show this week about the Phillies, and this is not in disrespect to the Phillies. But this stat is a real stat. It just kind of blows my mind. Okay, so they've played, I want to say, 49 games, Adam, creeping up on the 50 mark. I'll let you – I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe you do off the top of your head. Do you know of those 50 games, how many teams – or how many games, not teams, how many games have they played against a team that is currently today 500 or better? Out of 50 games, how many do you think? Just throw a shot in the dark if you don't know.
I'll give you 25.
Lower.
20.
Lower.
15.
Lower.
10.
Lower.
5.
Lower.
3.
3 games. And that was opening day against the Braves, and then the Braves and the Braves. Every other team they have played this season is currently under 500. It's not their fault.
They're playing
the schedule they were given, but there is a little something too. Okay, let's see what they do against the Dodgers whenever they play them. The Mariners, like the Braves, have played. Who are some other good teams out there? The Cubs are well above 500.
Right, right.
The Brewers are off to a good start. There are good teams out there. The Phillies have not sniffed. So they're winning. They're winning convincingly. They've got Ranger Suarez, who is, I think, 9-0 already this year with a 1.3 ERA. Ridiculously good. Bryce Harper's doing Bryce Harper things. They're going to be a playoff really good team, but I'm going to reserve my judgment on how good the Phillies are until they play more than 3 games against an above 500 team. It's crazy.
You got to. Remember 2 years ago, the Mets on Sports Talk Radio in New York City, right before Memorial Day, the guys are going on. Listen, they were 16 above the Braves, and look what happened.
Ringing the bell.
You can't. I mean, we sit here and talk about the Braves. Look, the reality is we have plenty of baseball to play. Nothing to be worried about, especially in their position. If they were the Marlins and won 16 games, I'd be worried. But no, I'm not particularly worried now. And listen, the Phillies have not won that division.
Mm-mm.
Not by any
not
means.
Not yet. I did hear a clip from Atlanta radio yesterday. I think it was Chuck and Chernoff. They were playing a clip of one of the Philadelphia radio guys, and he was basically – declaring the division over. It's a lock. Lock it in. They're done. It's like, I hear you, man. I don't really believe that my words affect like sporting events. Like, for instance, just in a very casual sense, I'm not being critical of anybody. But like Dave on my morning show will give me a little heck sometimes for like, quote, putting something out there. Like, oh, the Braves may lose by 10. Well, you said it. Now it's going to happen. Like, I don't believe in that.
No, I don't believe
that. I have no belief that anything I tweet, anything I say, anything I do can actually rearrange the atoms of the universe and make something else happen. That's called Hogwarts, okay? I don't go to Hogwarts. I live on Earth. I don't have magical powers. And spare me the whole, oh, if you tweet this, it goes viral, it gets in the heads of players. They don't give a damn what I'm tweeting.
No, it's rare, very rare.
And if they did, that's a coach problem, not a me problem.
Yeah, that's a focus problem.
So anyway, that aside, like, yeah, I don't even know what brought this up, but it's just...
The Braves will be fine.
Yeah, the karma. Is the guy declaring the division over, is that the kiss of death? No, let the players take care of it. 4 solid months of baseball left. 4 complete solid months of baseball and a long way to go. It's just weird the Braves have such a good record but are also one of the most frustrating and maddening teams I've ever watched right now. And I watch them every night. It's part of my routine. But I'm just getting frustrated that the bats will not come to life.
Is it that too? Well, it was your frustration they won't come to life, or maybe we were spoiled last year?
Well, we were spoiled as a fan base anyway. That happens when you win World Series and flirt with more and all that stuff. But no, I think it's just that we know how good we can be. We're just not playing like it, but we still managed to win a bunch of games. It's weird. I don't know. Let's hit a quick break right now, Adam. Come back with a little more time in segment two, because I got several things to get to, including a quarterback suing his rival's coach, which
can't
is
wait
just
to hear this.
Weird, weird, weird things happening. It's the Second String Podcast. Be right back right here on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Keeping those summer vibes going, one of our favorite rejoin songs, Bananarama's Cruel Summer, baby. just a bunch of women dressed up as mechanics dancing around New York City. That's the music
video.
It's
summer in the city. That's what you got to do. You got the hydrants flowing and everything.
Yeah, if you're nice to the fire chief, he'll come by and open up the fire hydrants for the kids, man. That's what I'm talking about. Ever played stickball?
I did.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
I've never had.
It's the best.
It looks difficult.
It is very difficult.
It's like a broomstick, right?
It's a broomstick, so you have a smaller barrel on it.
Yeah. But what is the ball?
Well, the ball can be anything. It could be a rock.
Oh, wow.
It could be anything that's balled up. It could be a regular ball. It doesn't matter what it is.
Some duct tape.
You got to be careful, though. You can't make it too heavy or you're gonna snap your stick.
I was going to say, maybe like either snap the stick or hit the cars that are all over the place.
Yeah. Really, we used to take rocks, like actual rocks. Now, not heavy ones, but hit them, and that was really difficult. Man. Talk about hand-eye coordination on that.
Probably made you better.
I hope. I don't know if it did, but in my case.
All right, couple quick thoughts on this situation with the Georgia quarterback, Jaden Rashada. I'll give two quick thoughts, then we'll kind of dive into it real fast. So one, my first reaction when I saw this yesterday or this week where it said, Jaden Rashada suing Florida coach Billy Napier and Florida boosters over botched NIL deal, I started laughing. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, what a troll job to leave Florida, go to Arizona State, then you come to Georgia, and while you're here, may as well sue the dreaded, hated rival Florida Gators as much as they suck.
I'm always a Gator hater.
Wait.
I don't really like Florida.
Thank you very much, Nolan. I don't like Florida very much either. But it's just such a the jokes write themselves, right?
Right.
It's like, you got to be kidding me. Like, a Georgia quarterback suing Florida head coach. Never in the world in a million years did I think I'd see something like that. Then I took a breath, and I was like, wait a second. I was like, how damn sad is it what we've let college football get to that we are now in a situation where a quarterback is suing the rival coach for a botched NIL deal. So I've got really mixed emotions here, Adam. One, I think it's hilarious. Two, I think it's sad as heck, man. But it's just weird nonetheless. There's a lot of crazy details involved in this, though. And I don't even know what's going to happen with this. But here we are. Welcome to 2024, Adam. Did you see this on the bingo card anywhere this year?
I didn't see it anywhere this year until more and more fools are giving out money. And now, you know, you want to go tease a player. Oh, I'll give you $13 million. Mm-hmm. Why not? And he comes back and says they fell through. Well, what were the details of it falling through, Logan? Mm-hmm. And then you really tick off a player. But the player comes back and probably somebody in Georgia, probably not in the program, probably outside of the program, obviously, were saying, hey, you really need to get your money from Florida. This would be a good opportunity to make some name for yourself as well, like get your name out there.
Definitely negative PR for Florida. You don't ever want to be in a lawsuit demanding money. Now, my questions about this, I'm not a lawyer. Never will be a lawyer, Adam. I think I do have a pretty decent understanding of a lot of legal procedures, but I'm not in any position to actually pretend like I know everything that I'm talking about. Fair. But here's my question when it comes to this lawsuit. What is the legality? What is the legitimacy? And what has been written contractually in terms of NIL, the name, image, and likeness deals that these collectives are divvying out? I have no idea, especially in this case, on a recruiting trail where you're promised this, promised that, and then you don't get that. Was any of that written into a legal document to say, this is what you are going to get if you sign with the University of Florida? If it's not, this is a lost, wasted time cause for Jaden Rashada.
It is, and I don't think any of that happened like you're talking about. You know, we've talked about this on the show here about unionizing players, becoming employees of universities. Mm-hmm. So there's really nothing. What can you do to get that money from a guy? There's nothing legal in place.
Unless there's something we don't know about, which could be like a binding contract, which is part of life. I mean, if I have a binding contract with you over anything and you don't fulfill your duty, I can take you to court and we'll let them settle it.
Right.
That's not uncommon at all. But I don't know, nor do I believe, that a booster during a recruiting visit says, son, come be a Gator, and we'll make sure $13.5 million get in your pocket. You just trust me, trust this, and then it doesn't happen. Like, can you really sue for that? I don't think so.
I don't think so. And why would the booster do a binding contract on something you don't know? There's so many unknowns to NILs and to players. The player can come and get hurt, mm-hmm. and then you just gave him $18 million. Why, as a booster, are you going to sign a binding contract? Why, as a business, are you going to sign a binding contract to something like that?
And I think one thing he's claiming, which this would make a little more sense, but still it lacks the binding contract, is he's claiming that he decommitted from Miami, which he did, that he was promised there like a $9.5 million NIL deal. Of course, the 13.5 sounds better. I'll go with Florida. I'll take that. Maybe he's trying to sue for lost revenue because he's assuming that Miami would have been good on their side of things, but you made me walk away from that, and now I got nothing from either one of you. It's like that's where, again, I would need a full-on legal expert who's going to charge me and you, Adam, like $500 an hour to explain this. We can't afford that on the Second String podcast, so we'll just interpret it the way we want to and figure out. But this is weird. Now, back to the 10,000-foot view, just the fact that you have quarterbacks suing rival coaches is one of the craziest things I never thought I would see in my life. It's almost as weird as Scottie Scheffler in handcuffs at the PGA Championship a week ago. What the heck was that?
It's just like a flyby. Like, oh, that what happened there?
It's insane, man.
Let me ask you a question with this whole ordeal with the quarterback. You know, why would Georgia go after somebody that has not only been to three high schools mm-hmm. in his high school career, but this is his fourth university in a year or so and hasn't really played much? Three games at Arizona State, nothing impressive. Why would Georgia go after that? Is it just a placeholder for them? Do they really think something's going to come out of it? Because, Logan, he could jump ship next week.
Everybody could. That's right. The problem with this day and age is if you based not taking a kid based on that,
you're right.
You're
yeah.
basically saying everybody is going to be either leaving tomorrow or locked and loaded. I don't know. But the kid has upside potential, for real, for sure. He never was a Miami Hurricane or a Florida Gator. That was just recruiting. He said no to both of them eventually and played at Arizona State. I can't remember Arizona State starting quarterback last year.
Can anyone?
I don't know, but I mean, it's very, very rare. Not everybody's Jake Fromm to go make impressions as a true freshman. Somebody, including Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo, still see the potential in this kid to say, hey, we would like to get you in line to come play for the Bulldogs, and maybe one day you'll take the snaps. We're constantly trying to replace you. And I think you load up on depth these days for exactly what you just said, is that he could leave tomorrow. I think you take as many folks in certain positions as you can because the future may not be what you think it is. I'll put my hot take out there, my just bold prediction. I don't think Jaden Rashada ever takes a starting snap at the University of Georgia.
I don't agree. I agree. I don't think he will either.
I think Ryan Puglisi, the guy from Connecticut, he's a true freshman right now. I think he is the future of the Georgia quarterback position. There's other guys in the fold, but I just have this feeling about Ryan Puglisi, who, by the way, we talked about this. His mascot at high school was a winged beaver.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
I love that. So the winged beaver, Ryan Puglisi, there was a video of him this week working out. That knee was hurt, just very not serious. Just a knee injury kept him out of the spring game. He is slinging that ball all over the field, man. So,
do we have specs on him? How tall is he? Do we know?
I can find that in short term. The winged beef.
That must be the new thing. You know, coming up with these quarterbacks and you know, talking about Georgia always has to have four scholarship mm-hmm. quarterbacks on campus at a time. Mm-hmm. I understand that you can go through players like water. Yeah. I understand that. I just don't understand this move.
It's weird. It's different. He's 6'3", 205.
He's got some
big dude. All right, we literally have a minute before we break, so I don't want to spend a ton of time like with the next step of what this like lawsuit is going to happen, because I don't know how that's going to go. But news this week about the NCAA settlement with previous NIL, there's this big major deal out there that's being settled as we speak. Two of the Power Four conferences, the ACC and the Big Ten, signed off on this settlement yesterday. The SEC and Big 12 are surely going to follow. That we talked about in more depth a couple of weeks back, where this is setting the stage for programs to take over the NIL and use revenue through TV and ticket sales and your program's money to take over NIL so that the boosters aren't the sole driving force behind it. That's a great thing, by the way, because you can then get into contracts with players and no more of these shenanigans. We got a break. We'll expand our thoughts on that in just a second. It is the Second String Podcast right here on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
When you only got 100 years to live.
I don't know what year this came out, probably early 2000s.
But I can tell you exactly when it came out, 2001.
2001.
It came out around 9/11.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I was graduating high school in 01. Yeah, one of those, we love summertime, we love nostalgia. This was my poor attempt at just finding a song that mentioned 100, because we are 100 days till kickoff.
Well, you know, you found it. That's all right.
I found one. That's all that matters. I'm sure there's some I'm like blatantly forgetting about, but I'll take it. 100 days till Georgia Clemson, the Aflac kickoff game. Remember that. It's no longer the Chick-fil-A kickoff classic. The new sponsor is Aflac.
What happened?
Just about a 6 months, 7 months, they just changed sponsorship. It happens every once in a while. My guess here now is Nick Saban going to be there? Because he's the Aflac spokesman. He ain't got nothing going on that day. He's not coaching anywhere, so maybe he'll be in the press box.
Can I just say, I can't wait to hear Nick Saban on TV.
That makes one of us, Adam.
I mean, listen, I understand and I get it, but just to hear just some of the stuff that he experienced over the years, just to hear it.
I do hope he's a tell-all guy. I think it'd be great to get an unfiltered version of Nick Saban. In fact, we've already kind of seen that. At the NFL draft a couple weeks ago, he said something like late in the fifth or sixth round. Maybe it was sooner than that. I think it was the first round, actually. I apologize. Late first round, there was a Tulsa cornerback that got drafted, Tulsa University. And Nick Saban, on the stage there with ABC or wherever he was with, he's like, yeah, this is a guy that at Alabama, we kept trying to get him to go into the portal, but he never would. We're like, wait a second, you what? Are you flat out blatantly admitting to tampering in the portal? Because that is absolutely not allowed.
Right.
You cannot reach out to someone and say, hey, young man, we'd love for you to enter that portal. We got a spot for you at Bama. They have to do that on their own. You cannot just try to convince, but he was like, yeah, we never could get him to enter the portal. It's like, dude.
Well.
Like, yeah, more of that, Nick. Bring it on, man.
That's what I want to hear. It's kind of like Bill Belichick on TV. We want to hear in the pros.
What else did you do?
What in the world is going on here?
So here's the thing, and I'm gonna say something that may lose some of our second string cheeseheads, Adam. I do not hate Pat McAfee like a lot of people do.
I don't hate him either, and no. that may lose. I think the guy is a real dude. He's just a guy that wants to have fun on the radio, talk about sports, drink a little. And
he's a different energy than some people are used to.
Yeah, I don't think he's not the guy at all.
Here's the main reason I like him, and I think he's enjoyable to listen to his afternoon show. I'm not even talking about College Game Day yet, but his show on ESPN in the afternoons, which I'll get home and turn on as background music. I don't sit down and like watch him, but he's on while I'm doing things around the house. I'll hear him. I'll listen to him. He gets a really, really awesome line of guests. He gets players. He gets coaches. He gets people in the industry of sports. And they go on his show because they know that he is not some capital J journalist that's trying to get all these little minute details and pin you in a corner and try to be the aha journalist that says, I'm going to break this story. He is just a dude, like you said, likes to drink, likes to cut his sleeves off. He's got an energy that I can't match. But he gets the best interviews of any show out there, and I have learned a ton listening to his show out of a lot of different sides of sports because people are comfortable talking to him.
Yes.
For that aspect. That is a skill. That is a blessing for his show. That is why he's so successful, is his line of guests, who he gets. Now, I don't care very much for the shenanigans that they do on the show. It gets weird sometimes. Like back and forth among the guys on the set.
Yeah, it's a little frat boyish sometimes. Yeah, but that's the price you pay to get a Nick Saban on there just giving you whatever Pat asks him. Oh, of course he's going to. Bill Belichick, another. We just talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Kirby Smart gets that rapport with him, it'd be awesome to see Kirby Smart in that setting, man. Just telling whatever, and Pat just was like, so hey,
I'm hopeful for College Game Day when Nick Saban will join the desk this upcoming College Game Day, which, again, I realize a lot of people, they swear they'll never watch Game Day again. They did David Pollack wrong. I don't like Pat McAfee. I don't care. Like, I still love College Game Day. That is part of my Saturday morning routine. It always will be, and I will not just conform my thoughts because the masses think something else. I think for myself. I do not dislike Pat McAfee on that show. He works that crowd. He brings an energy to a show that I want energy to. He says wonky stuff sometimes. So do we. We all do.
We all do.
We all do. But back to what you were saying, I'm very curious if Nick Saban on that desk on Saturday mornings is going to be a tamed down version, or is he going to be an Alabama blowhard and just totally pump up the tide every chance he gets, which is going to get annoying quick, or will he be a real good football analyst, which we all know he can be?
Well, Logan,
I don't know what we're going to get from Nick.
How you keep College Game Day fresh every year is doing that. You're not going to stick Nick Saban on to just talk about the cliche things. They're going to – like, look, you've got Kirk Herbstreit. He'll throw a zinger at him, and he'll take it. Same thing with what's the Michigan
Desmond
guy?
Desmond Howard.
Desmond Howard. They're going to do that. And, look, you got Nick Saban. How is he going to balance everybody out? He's going to give you, hey, this is what happened. This is why we did it. Mm-hmm. Why have him just give cliche answers?
I hope so.
Right?
I mean, we'll see. My biggest fear is mainly he's going to be a Bama blowhard. I'm sorry for the lack of better term, but I don't want someone up there just pump. And Reese Davis is a Bama grad already, even though he does a really good job at not like
you would
advertising
never
know that. Yeah. No, and he is sort of the anchor of the desk up there. But I don't like Nick Saban. I'll just be flat out honest. I respect who he is. I respect what he's done. I don't really like him though. I just think that he's got a lot of things that he's done behind the scenes that I don't think we'll ever know about. The corners that he's cut, the quality of player I'm talking from like a personality wise that he's willing to bring on is just it's shady, man. I don't like Nick. I don't like Nick at all. I think there's a lot more to Nick than we'll ever really know. But that being said, one hell of a coach, and we'll see what he does on the desk. I don't know. We'll find out together. But 100 days, Adam.
All right, well, 100
and in
days.
In fact, we have a week zero before 100 days.
Who's playing that week zero?
Who gets that
distinction?
Two teams that I despise, and one of them I've only recently despised.
Okay.
I'll give you the full rundown real quick. There's four games. We'll get to the big one last. We don't have the times for three of them. So the first game that's on the docket here, the newest member of the ACC, Southern Methodist University in Nevada.
Oh, well, I'll pass. I'll pass on that.
Montana State, New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll pass. I started to get excited, then I was like, nah, that ain't
it.
Nah. How about over across the pond, the big pond, Delaware State going to visit Hawaii.
What are you doing, Delaware State?
And good for them. They get a vacation to Hawaii.
That's what it is.
I bet they get there a week early. Where have you been?
Summer camp. Let's go enjoy Hawaii.
Opposite ends of the earth. We got to go to Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, I know this game, and I hate both the teams.
Florida State and Georgia Tech going to kick off at noon Eastern time from Aviva Stadium in Dublin.
Who comes up with that Dublin series? Like,
so,
why?
These teams love it. I think Georgia Tech specifically. Georgia Tech doesn't have the biggest fan base in the world, but a lot of them are very successful. I'll never knock Georgia Tech, the institution. They're a pretty damn good academic power.
Right, you separate
I just don't like their football team, but there's some really successful, smart people at Tech. They are eating this up. They are buying the packages. You can go to Tech's website. I did this out of curiosity, which messed my algorithm up bad, by the
Great.
Way. My computer thinks I'm a Tech fan. But I was looking at the packages that you can buy through Tech that includes airfare, hotel, ticket, tailgates, all that stuff. It for them, it's great. Am I willing to give up a home game in Sanford to go play a conference opponent in Dublin? Not for me. There may be one or two people that like it, but there are certain schools that will see the benefit to it. I don't think Georgia would ever do that.
Does it have anything to do with both of their stadiums sort of under construction right now?
I don't think
so. Have you
so,
seen Doak? Was it Doak Campbell Stadium?
Yeah, everything's under construction. Tech's reducing their capacity.
And I've seen that going downtown on the connector. You can actually see the upper deck, how they've cut it off.
It's been planned for some years now, so I don't know. If for them, have at it. I hate Tech with a bleeding passion, Adam. I don't like Tech. I don't like Tech.
And I don't
all.
Like Florida State. And I've never been a Florida State fan.
I used to be back when I was a kid. I had a Florida State starter jacket of all things.
You see, I was a Miami kid when I was like I liked watch Miami. Yeah, the U.
Two back in the 90s, a lot of people bandwagon those teams, but lately, for obvious reasons, ever since Florida State got left out of the college football playoff, they didn't show up to the Orange Bowl. We beat them by 60, and all they want to do is talk trash to us. as if they, oh, we would have beat you, this and that. It's like, well, you had an opportunity.
Yeah, you had the chance.
You had all the chance in the world. You got their players that are now drafted in the NFL mouthing off on podcasts about how things would have been different. It's like, bro, you quit on your team.
Yeah.
You stepped away.
You can't talk if you did it.
Like, if I were one of your teammates and I went out there and took that 60-point ass beating, I would hate you. I would absolutely despise you for putting us in that position and leaving and quitting on us so that you could go off in the NFL and run your mouth. Like, you are not a Seminole in my book if I'm on that team. Like, you are one of the worst teammates I've ever had. Don't ever come back to Tallahassee.
That is the worst teammate you can ever have, is somebody absolutely that quits on you. Not anything else.
And leaves
else
you to go play Georgia, a pissed off Georgia. So they've just been terrible. Ever since then, they're a team I used to have respect. In the Georgia realm, there's a lot of things that if it's good for Florida State, it's also good for Georgia. If they're plucking really good players out of the state of Florida, and look, Georgia gets them too, you're not going to get them all, they're taking them away from the Florida Gators. That's beautiful. Okay,
right.
Handshake. Hey, thank you very much. They also don't like Georgia Tech as an ACC rival. Neither do we. There's just a lot of benefit of both of the teams being good at the same time based on what they need to happen all around the college football realm. But that being said, they have shown their you-know-what for the past several months. And I will say something. I said this on the radio. I'll say it again. This is going to be weird to let it come out of my mouth. If Georgia Tech beats Florida State, not going to be mad about it.
Why?
I've never felt that way before.
Why, though?
Because it means Tech would win. You see what I'm saying? Like, I despise Tech winning anything. I hate Tech. There's a real capital H-A-T-E hatred when it comes to me and Georgia Tech. I don't ever want them to win a football game as long as I live. But if they beat Florida State, I'm not going to be mad about it. That's the first time I'll ever admit that I'd be okay with Georgia Tech winning a football game.
Okay.
That's how much Florida State has rubbed me just wrong these last
several months. I understand. Well, look, I mean, Georgia Tech, here's the thing, Logan, and it would benefit Georgia if Georgia Tech would actually be some sort of a record at the end of the year.
Winless forever.
Come on. It seems like Georgia Tech, when they play them, it's like, oh, it's just a cupcake game, because that's what it's becoming.
Well, we beat them 45-0 in 21. If I could do that every year the rest of my life, I'd never get bored.
Which I don't mean – I don't mind beating them 45, but they're not – it's like playing Western Carolina.
Look, I hear what you're saying. And they played us, like, scrappy the last couple of years.
Yeah, they did.
But I hear exactly what you're saying, because – and we're going to get them in Athens again this year. It's probably going to be a noon kickoff, because it's just what that game's become. I want to say twice in the last 13 years or so, it's been a non-noon kickoff. That's it.
Yeah.
It's just become not a written tradition, but that's just what it is. The last time they were here, 2022, I guess it was, that place in Sanford felt dead. I mean, the Georgia fans were there. They were sitting on their hands. They were kind of bored. Noon kickoff. We're still full from Thanksgiving. Here comes Tech. Whatever, man. I hear what you're saying. That needs to change. Unfortunately, if that's going to change, it is going to take Tech stepping it up. I just don't like the thought of them stepping it up, Adam. But there were some epic, epic matchups back in the 90s and early 2000s that we need to experience that again.
But you never know. With this college playoff, it may not matter.
Once
you get in, you're in, and you get a home game, and you're good.
Yeah, but I hear you, what you're saying. But I don't think that's ever going to change. That, yes, you can now afford a couple of losses. That's fine. But I don't think it'll ever change. Like, I can never lose a game to Auburn or Florida or Tech and be like, no big deal.
Right.
We got a spot in the playoff. It'll still suck. It's going to be terrible. It's bad for recruiting. It's bad for business. It's bad for donations. It's bad for the talent. It has real ramifications when you lose to rivals. It's not just a game. My mom has no clue how passionate and real, like, college football is.
How?
Like she just not a sports person at all. She thinks that we just walk around high-fiving each other like, oh, good game.
But you
thanks
working,
for coming to Athens.
You working in college or in sports radio and really a heavy emphasis on the biggest college program.
No, she has no clue, man. No clue.
Wow.
The, like, depth of, like, college. She literally thinks it's people just, like, walking around just happy to be here. Like, oh, so glad you're in Athens. I hope everybody has fun today. Let's have a good game. Like, no, it's real. It's the passion, the hatred is deep.
Yeah,
really, really, really deep. So it's hard for me to admit, even though you're right, Tech needs to get better so that we can have a better rivalry at the end of the year, because I do like that rivalry. And I was appalled at how just dead it was, how stoic that stadium was that Saturday morning leading up to a huge rivalry game. And it's going to take Tech getting better. Yeah. Georgia's done its part. Georgia's doing the thing, man.
Yeah, Georgia's taking – I mean, Georgia's dominating more than ever. Mm-hmm. But the problem with Tech, man, is the grade point average. I mean, the grade point average is tough.
Dude, those players aren't the student-athletes they want you to think they are. They all take the classes to get by just like everybody else. If you did a percentage of Tech alumni football players, how many go on to have successful engineering careers, their fan base wants you to think it's like 95%. It'd be more like 3-5%. Those guys are student-athletes like everybody else. I don't buy the whole, it's harder here, so we can't. No, you're not. You got the same players everybody else wants to get or you can get your hands on. Your recruiting sucks, but you're putting them through the same academic, just get them through like everybody else. A lot of tutors take classes for athletes, Adam. They're not out there doing it themselves.
That's inside information.
Exactly. All right, Adam. We got off the rails in a good way. I've had fun.
I have no idea. This is one of those shows.
I just forgot how we got there. Yeah.
This is one of these shows that we had two directions we were going to go to, Braves and Dogs, and we've gone everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about it, we'll wrap up the scheduling and counting down. I also love – now, week zero, it's usually hit or miss. Like, I will watch that Florida State-Georgia Tech game. I will sit down at noon, get my popcorn ready, grab a cold beverage, and enjoy the fact that football's back. Yay, all right? Don't even have a real passion as to who wins and loses that. The other games we just mentioned, I don't care about.
No.
Those are games I'll probably watch on week zero, but there's not a chance in you know what I'd watch them on an October Saturday.
I'll watch those I'm napping. When I'm napping, I'll turn it on and I fall asleep.
Exactly. Now there is an intriguing game I want to mention the following Thursday. So the Thursday before Labor Day weekend, a couple of days until Georgia and Clemson play. I love that Thursday night of going home from work. Maybe you'll get lucky enough to have a little bit of a low humidity day, and you get that feel like fall's on its way, football's back, here we go. We usually get a Chick-fil-A nugget tray. That's kind of a tradition. We'll sit in the living room, and we'll enjoy a few hours of college football. There's a lot of teams playing that night, and they typically are, but there's only two that are good. I'll give you the bad ones real quick. North Carolina A&T and Wake Forest. New Hampshire and UCF. Western Carolina NC State. How about Lindenwood and Kansas?
It's Cupcake Thursday.
There is a couple of SEC teams playing. Arkansas hosting Arkansas Pine Bluff. Missouri hosting Murray State. No interest in any of that stuff. The one good Power 4 game. And by the way, we got to get used to saying that. There's no such thing as Power 5.
Wait a second, you're missing one.
No, there is no such thing as Power 5 anymore.
You're not going to consider those two teams out there?
Nope, not doing it. Washington State, Oregon State, carry that flag, my man. Go do the thing, but you're no longer a Power 5 team. They're going to merge with the Mountain West anyway, eventually. All right, North Carolina and Minnesota. Okay.
I could watch that.
It's football.
Mac Brown.
It'll probably start at 6-ish, I think, and that's fine. A little bit earlier. That's typically what they'll do. Is that no, it's in Minneapolis.
Okay, so it's good for them because it's warm at that time of year. Doubt.
All right, but here's the game that at first I'm going to say it. You may not have much of a reaction. Then we're going to think about it for a second, all right? North Dakota State at Colorado. North Dakota State, that's the FCS team that wins all those national championships all the damn time.
That's the version of Alabama or Georgia.
For the FCS level, they are good. Like, they are a legit, scrappy, good team. Here's the way I see this going down. Again, let's piece this together. They're going to be in Boulder, Colorado, an 8 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. I think North Dakota State is prepping for that game as we speak right now. They've got them in their radar, in the hairs of the scope. They will be focused and want to prove a point. What has Deion Sanders been doing lately? Mouthing off at former players on Twitter. His son, Shador, the quarterback, he's also mouthing off on Twitter. They're talking all about, hey, we were more worried about this NCAA video game coverage. You know what Coach Prime is by now. He's a year into this Colorado experiment, won four games last year, or was it five?
It was four,
an improvement, don't get me wrong. But I think they signed five players out of high school, and their entire roster is built out of the transfer portal. It's insane. Like, I am not a believer in Coach Prime in Colorado. You talk about two different approaches to this game. I can't wait to see what happens in Boulder that night at 8 o'clock. I'm taking North Dakota State, too. Baby.
I don't think Coach Prime is a D1 coach. I think he's great for a small school that have everybody has a chip on the shoulder. But look, you're at Colorado. You're at a beautiful university. You got beautiful facilities. You got all this attention now. those kids really don't have a chip on their shoulder. He just brought in a bunch of kids from all over the place. There's no chip on anybody's shoulder. And the way he did it, Logan, was he kicked everybody out.
Yeah.
He didn't go in and say, all right, look at all these people that have been dogging you for years. You got one win. No, that's not the case.
When Oregon boat raced him last year by like 50, like I thought the soundbite from Dan Lanning before the game was perfect. He had the Oregon's coach, former Georgia defensive coordinator. He basically said, they do it for clicks, we do it for championships. And then they went out and beat them by like 55. It was glorious. It was a great, great day. We are about out of time. We've got to hit one more break. We got 4 minutes to go on the other side.
Wow.
It's the Second String Podcast right here on WGAU.
Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Ah, the sweet sounds of Europe. The final countdown.
Growing up, when I was a little kid, I remember watching the Detroit Pistons play in the NBA Finals, and they would play this song as they were introducing that team. And then the Chicago Bulls did it in the 90s. That's how I remember that song. But little did we know, that was a glam band from the 80s.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, just to make sure, you're not thinking of the Alan Parsons Project, are you?
No, I remember this one distinctly.
The Bulls did, and they may have done this too, but the Bulls.
I know which one you're going to talk
the
about.
The Bulls did the, when the Michael Jordan, which I love.
Yeah. They also did that one.
This is a get you hyped up song, man. In fact, let's bring out the final. Europe, we'll come back to you in a couple of minutes. This is the one that gets a lot of people jazzed up.
That
Remember
one,
this?
Yeah, they used that one. Yep, they also used that one too.
And now, from North Carolina. I forgot the exact
term. He had that growl.
Oh, it was awesome.
He had that growl.
You know, I hated MJ back in his playing days.
Oh, I hated him too because I was a Pistons fan.
I hated him.
I was a Detroit Pistons fan.
I was a Magic fan.
They knocked the Pistons out and their dynasty was over. Their little two-year run was over. I was mad.
Every year the Magic would feel like, okay, this is it. We're going to get there. Then MJ comes back out of retirement and blows it up.
Those Magic teams were good with Penny Hardaway and Shaq and
Nick Anderson.
Horace Grant. Oh, man.
Scotty Skiles.
Scotty Skiles.
And Dennis Scott.
Look at that.
There were some dudes on that team.
Yeah,
I had a Penny Hardaway jersey, by the way.
Do you still have it?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
It's worth some money.
Anyway, we got to get out of here, Adam. Good stuff as always. Memorial Day weekend. Remember, it's not a happy Memorial Day. It's it's commemorating Memorial Day. Everybody that has laid their life down and for this country, certainly just, you know, thank you for the families of them and everybody. It's a somber holiday, but I'll add on to that. I think we treat it as a welcome to summer holiday because we are free. And we're free because of those people that, you know, gave the ultimate sacrifice for Memorial Day.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I think they'd be honored in their afterlife to say that, hey, we're out here doing summer things. We're wearing American flags and we're drinking beers on the lake, baby. They didn't die for us, you know, live here and cry all day.
They died for us, yeah, and that's just an amazing thing that somebody would do that.
I'll be at the lake. I'm not hosting the big neighborhood cookout, but I'm hosting my own the next day.
Okay,
Listen, you need to be my neighbor at the lake, Adam. We got like five houses right around me. I've already told them, hey, on Sunday, not Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to have two Boston butts and three racks of ribs. Y'all bring whatever you want, but the backyard at the Booker House is going to be cranking some Kenny Chesney and probably have a lot of cold beverages in the fridge, man.
That sounds good. I'm going to be stuck at All-Star Baseball Tournament, so hopefully.
How far does that go? How long?
That'll go two games on Saturday, a possible three on Sunday.
Well, I watch your Instagram. You're a good dad. You're a good
coach,
Adam.
Hey, thanks, man.
Adam,
I'll try.
I can tell, man.
Give it a shot, you know?
Get those boys hitting home runs here pretty soon, man. All
right,
yeah, enjoy your weekend. And again, Memorial Day coming up. Remember the reason for that, but enjoy yourself as well because that's the name of the game. 100 days-ish until kickoff. Summer is officially here. And we'll just keep talking about rankings. And I, you know what? 30 seconds. I will be watching some NBA playoffs this weekend. We'll talk about that next week. I'm into the Ant-Man, dude.
Yes.
I'm into it. The Ant-Man.
I love all the matchups. Mm. Dallas, you got the leading scorer against the team that scores the most. And Boston and Pacers, man, tough.
I think it'll be entertaining from here on out. All right, we got to go. Adam, thanks as always.
Yeah,
Second
man.
String Podcast. Enjoy the long weekend. We'll be back next week right here on WGAU.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call, quickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.